Hi, folks. This is a very short podcast we recorded literally moments ago, minutes ago, with Lesya Vasilenko, who was a member of the Ukrainian parliament, a member of the opposition. Patrons, Tortoiseshack members, will have heard her several times over the last number of days, giving us near daily updates between herself, Maria Mezentseva, who is a Ukrainian government MP, and Alamur in Moscow. But we've decided to put this one out on full because I've been speaking to Lesya now for a few weeks, and we might not share the same political views. We definitely have the same idea about humanitarian issues, and it's clear from talking to her how affected she is by what's been happening in her home, and how unsafe she feels. If you want to hear the other ones, obviously they're all there on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. It would really help us as well, but putting this one out now so everybody can hear it. Do have a quick listen. It's only a short podcast, but I think you'll get a sense of the anxiety on the ground in Kiev tonight, and let's all hope for things to take a turn for the better. Let's all hope for the people start to back down from this madness. Enjoy the podcast, and enjoy seems like the totally wrong word, but you know what I mean. Hello, welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. Listen, folks, I'm going to go straight to it. We are joined by Lesya Vasilenko, who is at present in Kiev. Lesya, can you tell me, first of all, where are you and how are you?
So right now I am in Kiev still, and receiving very disturbing news of Russian advances all the time, and basically very stressed, although trying to keep calm. And I think that none of us have actually expected this in our worst nightmares.
No, I you've made that. We knew that in all the times that me and you have spoken. We didn't think that this was going to happen. Can I ask, just on a personal level, are you safe? I mean, I've seen reports of people being moved to subways and people being removed to basements. Are you currently? Do you feel safe?
Look, as safe as we can be at this point in time. So I had to move out from my apartment, which is in central Kiev. Because that would be unwise and unsafe. The people who have no choice but to stay downtown, they are spending the night in metro stations. And the rest have found ways to go out of town and stay somewhere around Kiev.
Yeah, I've seen reports of long queues for at petrol stations. I've also seen reports of counter of Ukrainian troops fighting back, whereby, you know, I've unconfirmed reports of downed Russian fighter jets, but I have confirmed reports of Russian tanks being destroyed in the city and outside Kharkiv. What are you hearing now? I mean, the last time we spoke about two fatalities. I'm sadly assuming it's much worse now.
Yes, the fatalities list grows by the hour, with both military and civilian casualties, and that is the saddest part, that we are dealing with a completely mad, psychopathic leader of an aggressive army who is targeting not just military targets but also civilian ones.
Lesya, I see the UK government have imposed some serious no-fly restrictions. They're also saying that the Ukraine government will be safe to operate in exile in the UK. Do you think it's heading that way?
I sure hope so. The sanctions, you know, Ukraine has been at war for almost 16 hours. At a war which Europe hasn't seen in years and decades. And still, those very severe sanctions we were promised are nowhere to be seen. Where is this de-Swiftization? Where is the switching off of Russia from the SWIFT? Not one country has spoken up for that. Instead, we have four countries, Germany, Italy, Cyprus, and Hungary, who are saying that, oh, no, that can happen. I mean, come on. How valuable is that unique system of money transfers, unified system of money transfers over people's lives? We're talking about 44 million people in the middle of Europe.
Sorry, Martin, I just wanted, I know we can talk about other governments acting up, but I am seeing evidence of people power, including within St. Petersburg and in Tbilisi, where people are coming out in support of Ukraine. I've seen it in Dublin today outside our own government offices, and our own Taoiseach making a speech about, you know, safe passage for any Ukrainians who want to be reunited with their families given the conflict. Do you think that will give any influence on the Kremlin's decision, or, as we fear, have they just priced all this in and are now taking as much as they think they can get away with for as long as they can get away with?
If I understood the question correctly, then the Russians, who are under Putin's orders, Putin's command and Putin's influence, will stop at nothing until Ukraine is destroyed completely. The Russians, who actually want to live a free life in a free country, they are actually coming out onto the streets of Moscow and St. Petersburg and voicing their concerns, let's say it like that. And I actually feel my own concerns about those people and for those people, because they are being smashed and trashed by the police, by their own police, who's supposed to take care of them. I'm guessing we'll be notified of arrests around Russia of civilians who just don't want to see their relatives and their friends brought back in coffins for a war, which literally means nothing.
What does the loss of Chernobyl mean, Nessie?
Chernobyl is now under the control of the Russians.
And what does that mean for the Ukraine?
Ask what it means for the world. Because Chernobyl is a nuclear power plant with the capacity to cause a Chernobyl too. Anyone who was born in 1986 and who, or earlier, and was alive and around, knows pretty much the devastating effect that had. Basically, we are dealing with a psychopathic leader, as I said before. And when you have a nuclear plant of the scale of Chernobyl under his control and under the control of his army, which blindly follows orders, then we can expect any kind of provocations. And the world should be aware of that, and the world should know that, and the world should immediately take action, because it's not about democracy anymore. It's not about the existence of a sovereign country. That is not enough. It's about the basic safety and security and livelihood of the whole of Europe and beyond.
And in that, Lesia, with your neighbors, Poland and other countries around you, are they now on a war footing? Are they preparing for similar kinds of actions?
Countries around us have already declared a state of emergency. They are the ones who are helping Ukraine the most. We are receiving aid from them, not just in the form of military, we're receiving aid from them in the form of opening up of borders for our casualties, for our injured. And in the morning we had issues at the border with Poland, because it was packed with people traffic. But I think the situation has resolved as they are basically opening up the borders. And I guess what we should be seeing is an example of all Western countries doing the same, opening up borders for Ukrainians who have no choice but to get out of the country as soon as they can.
Leslie, I know you're under time pressure, so I will let you go very quickly, but I want to ask one thing. We were talking a few weeks back, and we didn't think that it would go to here. We never thought it would get this bad, and even if we thought it would get bad, we never thought it would develop even as quickly as it has. Do you feel let down by even your own government not realizing that it was actually going to go as quickly as it was, because there was 130 to 150,000 troops just over the border, and it seems to be that we were all naive thinking that they were all going to turn around and go back to Moscow, but it didn't happen.
Yes, I guess it would be fair to admit that the attitude was one of a complete disbelief, because nobody in Ukraine, and anyone could believe that we would be facing World War III, basically. It's crazy. It's a crazy thought to be thinking in the middle of Europe, in the middle of the developed civilized world, if you like, of with all these countries and governments who believe in democracy, who go to the Council of Europe, to parliamentary assemblies, who speak of human rights, respect, and so on. No, it was impossible to imagine this. And of course, we should have anticipated this. We had our lesson, which must have been learned back in 2013, 2014. We should have prepared better. We should have known better. Our government, the present one, and all the ones before it, should have had strategies for all kinds of possible scenarios. And that didn't happen. As an opposition party, Holos has for a number of times called on the government, as did all the other opposition parties. But okay, we are where we are now. And at this point in time, we do not have the luxury to analyze the lessons of the past. We will do so. Certainly, we will do so once the attacks are fought back. But at this point in time, I think we have to concentrate on the livelihood and on the unity.
Lesia, last question from me. As you said, there's no turning back the clocks. We are where we are right at the moment. Taking that into consideration, what do you think Putin's medium-term strategy is? Is he planning to take all of Ukraine?
Yes, we have fighting going on all across Ukraine, in all regions. Targets, military targets are hit all over Ukraine because Ukraine has region, has military airports in every single region. And Ukraine, essentially, Putin's task is to get into Kyiv, get a puppet government installed in Kyiv, get parliament to renounce all attempts to join NATO or the EU, to get parliament to announce that Crimea is Russian, that the so-called republics of LNR, DNR really do exist, and acknowledge them, and to disarm all of the country, all of the people, and then to basically rule Ukraine as a part of Russia, essentially. And the worst part of it, that this scenario he was preparing now, as we can analyze it as well, he was preparing all of this back when he prompted Lukashenko's regime and when he essentially financed in these protests in Belarus to invade Ukraine through Belarus.
Yeah. Lesia Vasilenko, I know you're on the move, and I want you to stay safe, and I thank you for taking the time. Please mind yourself, and thanks for taking the time. We will talk to you again soon, okay? Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think that really might put in context. I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast for a number of weeks now, whatever your views of what the Lesia's political affiliation and the party that she represents, and whether all of that nonsense goes out the window immediately when you hear the stress in her voice, the anxiety in her voice, the fact that she doesn't feel safe when she's at home, and the idea that, you know, they're searching for places to stay safe. That was...
I'm not drawing any parallels. I think it reminds me of talking to Hannah in Gaza, Tony, is what it reminds me of.
It does. The world, I know that there's levels to this, there's layers to this. You know, the world sat on its hands because it was Israel, and now there's maybe a bit more Israel versus...
But at the end of the day, it's people sitting afraid, Tony, afraid to move, afraid not to move, don't know what the future's going to bring.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what the powers that be make the decisions, but for ordinary people on the ground, it's life and death. Yeah. It's, you know... Food in, kids being safe. It's, do you move? Do you become a refugee? You know, if you're in the Ukraine now, I think your best bet is to head for the border, quite honest with you.
Yeah, no, it does seem to be. I know the borders have been opened. Ukrainians are been allowed to move within within Europe. I've seen our own Taoiseach saying if anybody has family in the Ukraine and they want to come here, they'll be welcome here, and the process will be sped up. You know, they'll waive all of these things to help people. Of course, I've also seen people saying, you know, why didn't they do that for Syrians? Why didn't they? I get all that, but I just, today's not the day for whataboutery.
Yeah, does this end up like Afghanistan, where it just fades into the memory and we just all accept that Ukraine is now a satellite state of Russia? Is that where we're heading?
I don't know, but I looked at the map of where the active engagements are, and it is like, I mean, I would love to come in and say to Lizzie, well, that's not actually accurate, but if you look at the active zones where the conflicts are, Martin, they're spread right along.
Gavin Sheridan is just doing massive, massive amounts of work, putting good data out there. So, you know, worth going along and having a look at Gavin's timeline.
I've put on last night's podcast with Alan in Moscow, I added Gavin's list, so people can just click on that link there. They'll be able to watch it there. It seems a bit humdrum now, but I do want to mention the fact that we're continually underserved by our own politics at the moment and how things are gone. And I know it's kind of galling in the context of what's happened, those conversations that we're having about, you know, an open war in Europe, and we have people saying, but the RA and other people saying you're an Ansbacher account and
look, I know, yeah, petty politics, Tony. You know, there's something far more serious going on that could, very potentially could, just make all that stuff completely trivial. That said, we are poorly served by our elected representatives, Tony. I see people still arguing about, are we neutral? Are we not neutral? Yeah. You know, silly conversations. We're not big enough to be any other way, is the God honest truth.
But again, we have to, if you accept your part in the world, that's actually not a bad place to be, you know?
No. I am pity there's not more neutrality and countries that are saying, no, we don't war. So pity there's not, you know, we, instead of wiping that out, we should be promoting it right across the world that more countries are the same, you know?
I just, again, and I was talking to a couple of other people in Ukraine today, one whose hometown has been occupied and one who is currently taking shelter and hasn't been able to connect with me since. Now, I've seen they've come online since and said they're okay and sent back replies. But when you put that in context, and then you have, you know, the other guy, the tarnished, is saying, oh, yeah, you never condemned this X thing about this.
You never condemned. I hate that.
I know. And I just think we're badly served. And I don't want to pick on the tarnished specifically. It's across the board with much of this. And it's something that's bothering.
If you were to condemn everything that's gone on wrong in Ireland, you'd spend the next 100 years condemning everything, Tony.
Yeah, I know, Martin, but I suppose it's infuriating. There is still stuff going on domestically. We're seeing arguments breaking up over housing. We're seeing all this stuff happening. Look, I don't know what more to say. Anything else seems
kind of trivial, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it
does everything else seems kind of trivial. We've more coming during the week. We're also live on March 6th in the Sugar Club. So if you're around, get the tickets. I know that sounds terrible to be plugging, but that's what pays the bills. It's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. That's what pays the bills. But also on top of that, there's lots of other content. If you're only hearing this now, we've been talking to Lesia and Maria and Alan for the last number of weeks, and most of that is behind the paywall because it's been timely. It's been the recordings go out as they're done, so that's
there isn't much of a time lag because the news gets old fast.
Exactly. So the news gets old fast. So if you haven't heard those, they are available all on the back catalogue on Patreon for the price of a decent cup of coffee or a cheap pint nowadays, Martin.
That's it.
Listen,
it's nice to be back in the groove a bit, Tony. But I just like to say, just, you know, double down what Tony said. This doesn't survive without patrons. So be a patron. It's that simple.
Yeah. Listen, folks, more coming over the course of the weekend as well. Hopefully we'll be having seen some good news or some turn in this. although it does seem very grim right now tonight, very grim. And it's okay to say that, and it's okay to feel that. We don't all have to be geopolitical strategists or working our way through this sort of stuff. And, you know, again, putting all politics aside, I just hope people are safe and as few people are sort as possible. We'll be back when we can. Talk to you all very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.